Winona Forever is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more podcasts about movies and nostalgia, head on over to cageclub.me. Hi, I'm Lindsay Gibb.
And I'm Rekha Tulsaram.
And this is Winona Forever.
Yes. Hello. We are here today to talk about The Iceman.
The Iceman.
It came out in 2012. And we have a guest today. It's Chris.
It's me.
It's Chris. He's always here, but he's on the mic.
We've given him a mic. The Iceman is about real life contract killer, Richard Kuklinski. I can't say his name.
I think it's something. It's Polish. Along those lines.
And they make a lot of mention, actually, in the movie that he's Polish.
They do.
And so he was arrested in 1986, and he had a wife and kids, and they had no idea about his whole contract killer life. And I think he killed about 100 people over the span of his thing. And this movie, like, was trying to, like, I guess, trying to, like, talk about his life, but we didn't really see much of his childhood or anything, but
just flashes.
And mostly it starts from when he gets his, like, first job, I think, with Ray Liotta. Mm-hmm. Big boss man, bad guy, Ray Liotta. And he goes on, works for him for a while, gets fired.
You forgot to mention he started his career as a mild-mannered, like, porn editor or something?
Yeah,
or
that's dubber? True. Yeah, he was dubbing porn.
Yeah. Which I guess was owned by the mob?
Yeah, it was all mob-related. So they found him, they were like, oh, this guy's tall and he's scary, so let's...
He's not afraid.
Yeah.
We threatened him and he...
Didn't care.
Yeah, exactly.
There's something strange about him. Let's get him on our side so he doesn't kill us.
Yep.
Yeah. What did y'all think of this film?
I didn't mind it. I think I only gave it 2.5 on Letterboxd, which I think Chris also gave it.
Oh.
But
I'd give it a 3.
Did you give
too.
It something?
Oh, didn't rate it yet.
Yeah, I mean, I'd also give it a 3. I feel like there's lots of things that I liked better that I gave a 3. It's very hard when it's only 5 stars. But
I don't know. I think I would give it 2.5 as well.
Yeah.
It didn't, like, impress me much, as Shania Twain would say.
Amazing. Yeah, I hear that. It was still totally watchable. Probably one of the more watchable movies of hers that we've watched recently. I enjoyed.
It was definitely watchable.
The acting was good.
Did you like her
Michael
Jersey
Shannon
accent?
Was good. That was interesting and distracting.
It threw me off. It was kind of half there, so wasn't the best Jersey accent. I went to the premiere of The Iceman at TIFF
in
2012, and hopes to see Winona again, because I missed out on The Black Swan. And there were so many crowds that I couldn't actually cross the street, so I was across the street, and I did see her silhouette.
Oh.
End of a photo, and it's like you can see the in the distance. You can see Michael Shannon more because he's tall.
You can see a sense of
this
her.
Is like around but King Street, or?
Yeah, it was in front of like the Prince of Wales. See, no, wait, is that the King Street one?
I think so.
Yeah.
Princess of Wales.
Yeah.
One of the whales. And royalty, I don't know.
Yeah.
They were all standing in front, you know, with the cameras and stuff. But so from a distance, I saw her.
Cool. And you didn't go to the movie, you just went
Did you ever see the movie after that?
Oh, so this is the first time.
This was my first time.
Fresh Winona content.
I'd always been meaning to see it, but it was just, I never got around to it.
It's fair. It was sitting there on Netflix and just like, it could be watched anytime. There was no urgency.
Because it was on Netflix, it was like, okay, it's there. I will watch it.
Yeah.
But I got to be in the right mood and then.
Just never
hey,
happened.
This weekend worked out.
Yeah. I like Michael Shannon. I wouldn't say that I've watched a ton of stuff with him in it, but I thought he was good in this. He's like a weird. Like, I don't really know what the real guy was like. Mm-hmm. I've seen a picture of him. It doesn't look anything like Michael Shannon, but like Michael Shannon just seems like a weird guy to play a mob guy. I don't know.
It was around the time I think Michael Shannon was getting some popularity, so everybody mm-hmm. wanted him in his films. So like he did The Runaways. I think that was his first kind of like breakout role. And then he was doing Boardwalk Empire, the HBO show. And
that
he was
must be why.
Yeah.
Oh right, that's Mobby, right? I haven't seen Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, it's a Jersey Shore mob. Yeah, and then he was in a Herzog film. My son, what have you done?
And he was super creepy in Boardwalk Empire. Oh, he was in what?
Bad Lieutenant. The other Herzog one.
I don't remember him in Bad Lieutenant, but I haven't seen him in a long time.
He was just a small part. I think he can kind of play various roles, certainly, but... Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's something like he did stand out in the mob. Like I don't know. He just was like this weird family guy. I don't know. There's something that bothered me about that portrayal of him. Like, I don't really know what the real guy was like other than reading about him on Wikipedia.
Yeah. Well, I just read that he actually abused his own family wife and stuff. And they didn't even.
Is that like all these types of movies where it's like
they want you to sympathize with the villain.
They want you to feel for this person because maybe otherwise you won't like the movie if you don't care about the main character. But like
there was nothing really redeemable about him. He wasn't very.
He was killing people.
He tried to kill a cat.
Yes. And his brother, Stephen Dorff. Stephen Dorff played his brother, which, Stephen Dorff is so, doesn't age. Like, I don't know what's going on with him.
I thought that was Chris Evans, and then I just looked in IMDb, and I was like, okay, that was...
So he plays his brother, and he says to him, I don't know, because he's, judging his brother, because Stephen Dorff killed a young girl, a 12-year-old girl, and that's the one criteria that Michael Shannon has. He doesn't kill women and children. And so he's like, I don't have any sympathy for you that you're in prison. I'm not going to help you. Like, nobody cares about you. You killed a girl. And he's like, when we were growing up, you killed animals and stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There's just something about the sympathy we're supposed to have for him. The fact that he doesn't ever hurt his family. Like, you're supposed to think, oh, he's this great guy.
He's so nice because he doesn't kill women and children. Right. But he just kills everybody else. Like, I don't know.
Like, people he's not contracted to kill. Yeah.
People who piss him off in a bar, kill him.
Right.
Playing pool with someone, doesn't like him, kill him.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
And all that murdering wasn't nice, but do I also...
Wasn't nice, however.
But do I also remember him being kind of weird on the first date with Winona in the diner?
Yeah, but I feel like that could have been brushed off as awkward.
Yeah, because he was trying to hide what he was doing. Like, she kept asking him about himself, and he said
he dubbed for Disney.
Yes.
And he dubbed for porn. Mm-hmm. And then she never knew that. I don't know. The other thing is, in the story of the real guy's life, the family doesn't know what he does. In this, there was moments where it seemed like Winona kind of had a hint that he was doing weird stuff, but she just tried to not ask too much about it.
Yeah.
But maybe in real life, the family literally had no idea that he was, that's the way they, I mean, the Wikipedia and also the end of this movie says his family had no idea what he was doing and they never saw him again after he got arrested, which, because you've watched this whole movie where he's played as sympathetic, you're like, oh, he never saw his family again, and they meant so much to him.
I know when they showed that, I was like, am I supposed to feel bad for him?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I did, because I bought into the thing, but I also felt like I don't believe that this guy didn't abuse his family.
Yeah.
Like, he had this rage inside of him, and that's why he needed to kill people for a living.
Well, that was one point where he was holding Winona's head. I was like, he's going to, crush her skull or something.
Right.
I was just what is he going to do?
That time he got really mad and busted up the house, he didn't touch her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that the real guy didn't.
No.
He totally did.
Yeah.
Anyway. that's a problem we have.
We have
with
a sanitized gangster.
Yeah. And you're supposed to like this guy. It's like Tony Soprano or something. You're supposed to like him.
Apparently for this role, Winona... In the script, she ripped out all the scenes where she wasn't in to be the oblivious wife.
Oh,
so she really didn't
so
know
smart.
What was going on.
That's really smart.
Mm-hmm.
Good,
she got in.
Good job, Winona.
Yeah, she good.
I think she was good in this. I mean, the accent was distracting,
but
she,
other part from that,
she was good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I liked her as a mom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I did, too.
Like a pre-Stranger Things mom skills. on display.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Does this start in the 60s or the 50s?
64.
Okay. Yeah, I missed that first, like, thing that said New Jersey, 19, whatever. When they're on that first date, he calls her a prettier version of Natalie Wood.
Yeah.
Nice. But then later, so he gets in a fight. The first person we see him kill is somebody who says that she, like, dated his friend and that she wouldn't have sex with him and until marriage or whatever. So he said to her, said to him, like, this guy said to Michael Shannon, good luck getting your dick in her. And I was like, oh, I mean, of course, we're not supposed to like this guy. He's about to kill him.
Yeah.
But also, it flashed me back to that A Scanner Darkly conversation that happened between, what is it, like, Rory Cochrane and Robert Downey Jr., where they're talking about, like, oh, like, I think Robert Downey Jr. is saying, like, I can get you with her if you want.
How it's just, like, snap of a finger.
People are just talking about her, like,
yeah,
I can make, you can have sex with her.
Just
like,
some
I
sort
can,
of sexual yeah. doll thing.
Yes,
know?
Exactly. Yeah. I didn't like it. what I didn't understand, Ray Liotta, so he hires him on, they work for, together for a while. David Schwimmer, who, let's talk about David Schwimmer.
Oh my god, I forgot he was in this.
My note says OMG Ross.
Yeah, because when you see him, he's kind of at a distance and you're like, that looks like David Schwimmer, but it's not.
And then he comes in the room and he's like,
hey, he wants to talk to you. And you're like, that guy with that weird handlebar mustache.
Ooh, it was real. And he like, yeah, everything about his look was awful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty good.
But he's the one who gets, like, the whole operation shut down, kind of, because he, like, screws up. Yeah, Ray Liotta is told to kill him. He won't. So they, like, go, I don't know, underground. I don't know what they do exactly, but they stop doing stuff so that nobody notices that they're there. I don't know. But what I don't understand is it seems like David Schwimmer and the guy from The Sopranos, the, like, restaurant guy from The Sopranos, he's the other, like, mobby guy. Yeah.
The guy who plays Artie's in this?
Yeah, he's the other guy, like, that's with Ray Liotta's crew.
Oh, the friend guy.
Yeah. And Ray Liotta, they're still kind of operating, but they, like, laid off Michael Shannon.
Yeah, they fired him.
And I don't really...
like, you lost your job.
No, why? Like, and then Ray Liotta's mad because he's still working with somebody else who turns out to be... what's his face?
Chris Evans,
which I did not recognize him because he's like this hippie with sunglasses.
Sunglasses and this hair. Filthy, like, unbrushed hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't until he, like, came back with a shaved head that I was like, oh, that was Chris Evans all this time. I wondered who he was
that was him at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that.
And then I was like, oh, right, he's supposed to be in this. Who has he been? Oh, that guy.
Mr. Freeze or whatever they call him.
Yeah. Which I guess this is why he's called the Iceman, because it's not just because he's cold and can kill people. It's because he froze bodies so that nobody would know when
they
were
killed. The time of death. Yeah.
Which they didn't really play up in this. Like, they were cutting up frozen bodies, but they never discussed the fact that they did that.
And
But in real life, I guess that's why they called him the Iceman. Love that they call the movie that, but don't really ever explore the fact that that's what's happening.
Apparently the real guy... mm-hmm. Kuklinski was involved in the death of Jimmy Hoffa. Apparently, they only realized that after his death. But they think he confessed. He said he did it.
Interesting.
With a bunch of other guys in this, and he said, like, the full details.
Hoffa's like a murder where the body was never found.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah,
like, they think he's, like, just in they some said concrete
they,
somewhere.
They compacted the car and it shipped it off to Japan, so it's gone. Mm-hmm.
That's what the mystery solved.
Apparently. I just solved it. No, I didn't do it.
Well, so yeah, at the end of this, it says that they suspect that he committed 100 murders and he was convicted for like 3 or 5 or something. I don't know. But I think in the Wikipedia, it said that he says it's more like 200 or something. So I don't know if he's actually killed that many people or if now that he's dead now, but like when he was in jail that he was like I killed everybody.
Telling tales.
Who knows. But
James Franco was in this.
I know. Yeah, there was a few like people just popping up there.
I just read he actually auditioned for the lead.
Really?
Didn't get it.
He's barely in this. Yeah. He's like a guy who gets knocked off. Like,
yeah, he'd make a good dead-eyed sociopath, I think.
Yeah, sure. But I don't know. This guy's supposed to be tall, so. Because that doesn't matter a lot, but.
Maggie Gyllenhaal was originally cast.
As the Winona character.
As the Winona character, but she had a baby, so Winona filled in.
Interesting.
What else we got here? I don't know. This
I would say, like, if you were to compare it to Scorsese movies, his mob wives get to do more fun stuff. Like Sharon Stone in Casino gets to, like, go on, get, like, you know, gacked on coke and, like, drive the car, like, up onto their lawn and yell. Or
Sure, those mob wives know their mob wives, like, the like that they can do whatever they want and nobody's going to do anything about it.
Yeah, probably.
In the Scorsese ones, they know because the guys,
the casino owner, mob wise guy, they're kind of untouchable in a sense. Or they're like, I guess there's a sense of that. But I thought that maybe Scorsese gives them more psychology, like the mob wife who realizes that the neighborhood guy who used to give her trouble is not going to bother her anymore, and you can tell, she gets that sense of power. I can't believe I can't remember the name of the actor or the character in Goodfellas, but there's a lot of neat interpersonal dynamics, and I thought that Winona just got to be a type in this. She just got to be the perfect 60s, but provincial Jersey, more like 50s, like.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's why I couldn't tell when this took place. she was like traditional or whatever. I don't know. Maybe that's what the real woman was kind of like. Who knows? Like, this is the weird thing about doing a movie about a real person. Like, obviously, you can take liberties, but
Then you're
sometimes
just like,
you're kind of just stuck with, like, this is what the whole thing is, that they don't know that he's doing this. So we have to make out, like, she's so happy that he's this provider. At some point, he says, like, oh, it's fine, you just want somebody to take care of you, and she's like, I like the way you take care of me. So
but then you get this peculiar dinner scene where I can't remember who it is. Is it a friend, one of the friend of the family, who reveals the Iceman's big secret, that it was pornography that he was dubbing, which is hilarious because he's and he also murders, that's the scandalous thing, is that he dubbed
the pornography. Yeah, because they say something about, like, cartoons or something, and then the girlfriend of one of the guys is like, is that what we're calling porn these days?
That's right.
And then she's like, porn? And then that girl's like, oh, I don't care. It doesn't really bother me or whatever. But then I think somebody else pretends that, those guys are just doing porn on the side with his equipment. And so that's why... Mm-hmm. Winona doesn't know that it's porn, because he's not doing the porn.
Right.
The other guys are doing it.
Of course.
Yeah, I feel like we don't have a lot to say about this movie because it's not terrible. Like, when we've had really terrible movies, we have a lot to be, like, angry about and, like, complain about. But this is a pretty middle-of-the-road, like, biopic mob movie that's fine.
There's one scene where he's, after his daughter, they, like, Ray Liotta, like, kind of gets like a hit on the family and hits the daughter of the car. The daughter's in the hospital, and he has like Michael Shannon has like a little breakdown in the elevator, and he's just like, I'm sorry. But that, the way he's saying I'm sorry and like smacking himself into the wall, was exactly like Fairuza Balk in The Craft, and I was like, I've seen this scene before.
Oh, really?
And I was like, this is weird, but like it's the same, like kind of like losing your mind, I'm sorry.
Interesting.
Yeah, anyway, that's what I just thought. I was like, just like The Craft while watching this.
Maybe. That was his inspiration.
Yeah, must be. I don't know what else this director has done.
Michael Shannon's good. It's fine. It's nice to see more Winona, because she's like second build in this, which is nice.
The director hasn't really done anything.
No.
Prior to this, like, you're weird correct. Small movies, one called The Angel.
Yeah, it's exciting. For some reason, I thought
James Mangold directed this, but that was probably just in my head.
Interesting. But yeah, how did you feel about seeing more Winona? I was happy.
I was fine, but her characters are, like,
yeah,
not so good. That's okay.
Yeah, I mean, the movie's about all the mobsters, yeah, exactly, and she's just about the men. Wife.
Is it, you know, exactly. Yeah. She's just the wife. She played the wife. She played the wife well, but she played just the wife, and that was the kind of movie it was. Mm-hmm. I expected to see more action or something, or more violence, but that was just me. Did you miss? I don't know. I thought it lacked it.
Yeah. I don't know. Have I already forgotten it? I only watched it yesterday. I mean, or the day before.
Didn't they make him kill a homeless person at some point?
At the beginning. That was something.
That was sad. That was still the point where you're, like, not sure that he's going to be, like, that good of a killer. Like, I guess you know that he's, the whole point of this movie is he's a killer. But, like, I was like, oh, maybe he's has some kind of moral compass. Like, he only kills people who deserve it or something.
But he wasn't really good at, like, covering his trail or anything. Like, not really. Like
he was stupid to go kill the guy from The Sopranos.
He didn't wear a mask. He was just like, you know.
He did the sneeze on him.
Oh, yeah, the sneeze thing.
Oh, that was really upsetting. That was really good when he sees him outside the club.
The other guy sees him outside
the club. The other guy. He gets basically seen at the scene.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought that wasn't terrible writing, or maybe that happened and that's how the story goes.
Yeah,
but I thought that was interesting. A botched hit with a really bizarre, like weird Russian KGB way of killing someone.
Yeah, the sneeze.
Yeah, it was an interesting way, but, like, why did he have to do it? Like, I get that, like, the other guy killed people, too. Why didn't the other guy do it instead of, like, someone he would recognize?
Exactly.
Like, what? So you're right. He didn't care. He just thought, I'm invincible. I can kill anybody. Yeah. I can go kill this guy. I know.
Yeah, there was, like, a chip missing. Matter. It was just, like, he was just doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was getting mad at the aspect that we are supposed to like this killer, I was thinking about Barry. Have you guys watched Barry?
The Obama doc?
No. It's the Bill Hader's show. He plays a guy named Barry. It's a show called Barry. He plays Barry. Barry's a hitman. But he, like, wants to be an actor, and so he's, like, taking acting classes, and he has all these friends in acting classes, and he's trying to get out of being a hitman. But he's good at being a hitman, so he keeps being a hitman, basically.
Like Christopher in The Sopranos. Christopher in The
That's true.
Sopranos trying to break
trying to
out.
An actor.
Trying to do that
That's
mob
true.
To acting transition.
Yeah.
Oh, Christopher.
Though Bill Hader's not really working for the mob. He's a, like, ex-military who's, okay. like, contract,
mercenary
contract killer, basically. Mm. Anyway. Yeah, so I just feel like there's a whole, I mean, there's like a whole thing about like mob movies where you're supposed to like the mob guys who are killing everybody. Like probably almost every mob movie, you're supposed to have some sympathy for some of them. Or, I don't know.
And I wrote, the first question they ask him at the beginning of the film was like, do you have any regrets? And at the end he goes, you know, I don't regret anything.
Yeah.
But that's an interesting challenge for this film, is because Michael Shannon is not charismatic like James Gandolfini or like Al Pacino. He's got a quiet intensity about him.
It's more internalized.
Sort of off-putting, right? So I guess there's only so far, like so many gross things he could do before he would lose the audience. Just thinking about how they sanitized his role and like made him for some reason a good father and have some sort of credo about not killing non-adults or whatever.
Non-adults. And not killing
and children,
women
and children.
Mm-hmm. Women and children, yeah.
But I wonder if if they made him too true to life and too amoral and too unplugged from basic humanity, then it would just be like...
You'd be like, ew, this guy's gross.
Just be like Marquis de Sade. Like, it would just be, like, completely upsetting. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. They call him, like, in the media stuff about, like, the actual guy. They go from calling him a contract killer to a serial killer. And I wonder, like, in the movie, there are lots of moments where he just kills people that he isn't contracted to kill. He just is like, I've decided I want this person to die, so I'm just going to kill them, like, in the moment or, like, for whatever reason. So I wonder if he was, like, in real life, just going about killing random people.
Yeah, I think he just killed all the time.
Yeah. So.
That's how he does it.
Kind of a combo.
Yeah.
Serial killer. Contract killer. I don't know. Never heard of that before.
The old serial killer combo.
Yeah.
But it was a slick movie. It was like, you know, the production was there.
Yeah, totally. It was totally watchable.
Yeah.
Oh. There was something, and I wonder if it was that I'm sorry moment. There was something that reminded me of Christopher Walken in this. Like, Michael Shannon was Christopher Walken as...
It's the voice he was using or something.
Kuklinski or whatever.
But Christopher Walken played a gangster in King of New York.
True.
I didn't like it very much.
You didn't like it? I don't know if I've seen
it. Oh, because he wore the funny top hat. Like, it didn't...
There was a top hat? Didn't
he? Christopher, he can't be a gangster with a top hat. I felt like he had a top hat. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
Looking it up. We're gonna use all our information seeking skills.
I also thought Gangs of New York was a musical, so just don't.
Right? They're the Gangs of New York.
I thought I was the one who thought that. Did we? Did I convince you?
The Gangs of New York.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. I mean, there's only one picture here, and he is in it, not wearing a top hat.
Fine.
But who knows? Have I not seen this movie? What's wrong with me? Oh, is that Buscemi? It looks like he's wearing a hat that is not a top hat, but a hat of some sort.
You might have been disappointed in Buscemi's top hat.
Maybe it was Buscemi, or you know who it probably was? Daniel Day-Lewis.
Is he in?
But Gangs of New York?
In Gangs of New York, not in
We're not,
the
no, King,
King
of
New
York.
York.
We're talking about Christopher Walken.
Oh, I switched over to Gangs of New York.
No, Christopher Walken was wearing all kinds of hats.
I'm like, fine. Lawrence Fishburne's wearing a hat.
I don't even know what the King of New York is.
Well, there you go. He's dancing. There's Christopher Walken dancing in King of New York.
Fine, I just...
And his suits, so you know. I mean, the big shoulder
now
pads.
Now
I'm going
to go watch
those. Like.
David Caruso. See where we go with these.
So speaking of where we go, it's I got Abel corrected Ferreira. On our from our last episode for Dilemma, because I was saying that I didn't know who Channing Tatum was, but Adam texted me. He's like, just want to let you know that you actually introduced me to Channing Tatum because he's in She's the Man, which came out in 2006, which I owned on DVD and showed everybody. So I knew clearly who he was.
Interesting. So we knew who Channing Tatum was. I should go watch King of New York. I do like Christopher Walken. I'm not saying that Michael Shannon as Christopher Walken in this movie was bad. I just, he was reminiscent of Christopher Walken for me. I have no feelings about Chris Evans. I'm on the fence about James Franco, and Stephen Dorff doesn't age.
True. And Ross.
And Ross is just hilarious.
Oh my God, Ross. And then at the end, when he dies, he turns his head and it reveals a ponytail that we hadn't seen before.
I was like, look
the
at
ponytail
that hair.
Is a reveal.
But it was intentionally, so he flipped it, then you could see it, and then he's like, you've got to die now. Like, you have a ponytail. Like, this is it.
Was he wearing a goofy tracksuit also?
Yes.
Yeah, the like a beige tracksuit.
Every time now, like, because Matt was in the room while I was watching it, and I was like, oh my God, that is him. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, it looked like David Schwimmer, and then it was. And then he just goes, juice, juice. Because have you seen the O.J. Simpson biopic type thing, whatever it
no,
is?
No, I haven't seen
that. That has David Schwimmer in it.
You got it, Juice. When Chris and I broke up, the Juice was there for me every night. It's like he's not really the Juice anymore. We gotta get you dressed, Juice. Juice, Juice, a will? Juice, Juice, Juice. Come on, Juice. Juice! Juice. Juice, it's AC. Juice! AC's here!
Juice, I heard Juice. It's on every channel. You know I feel the same, Juice.
You're gonna tell them yourself, Juice. Juice. Juice, your whole family's here, Juice. She's on the house phone waiting to talk to you, Juice.
Juice.
Okay, Juice?
Okay, Juice, we're good to go.
You're home, Juice.
You know Uncle Juice, and your Uncle Juice is a good man.
He's never going to stop being the Juice.
Juice.
David Schwimmer was Chris Kardashian in it. Is it Chris? Robert Kardashian, sorry. I don't know. I don't know the Kardashians to know who's who, but Robert Kardashian. And he calls OJ Juice all the time throughout it. So, Matt. So neither of you saw that? Anyways,
he calls him
Juice throughout it, and he's always like, Juice.
All right.
Even paying attention.
What's the next movie, guys?
The next movie?
The Letter is next.
Oh. What?
Same year, 2012. I didn't realize she had... Oh, James Franco's back!
Oh, this is the James Franco one. Who knew she was in two movies
with James Franco? I didn't know this. In this one, she's really with him.
Ooh, 3.7 out of 10.
Oh, Who's James?
Yeah, she's top billed.
James Franco's not even in the top four people that are in this.
No.
Interesting.
He plays Tyrone.
So maybe she's not really with him. Maybe she's with this Raymond. Josh Hamilton. Yeah. Who's Josh Hamilton? Okay, I'm going to have to investigate all of these people before before we talk about it. But she's like, yeah, she's right there top billed. So maybe we're actually going to see a lot of Winona.
This might be
That's
something.
That's exciting. Except we can't get our hopes up.
No. I said it could be
it's
something.
It's a thriller. It could be something. You're right. It could totally be something. So, yeah. Come back for the letter. 2012. Yep. Episode 40 will be in our
Holy
next
crap.
One. I know, right?
40.
Yep. We made it. Sweet.
Okay. Thanks.
Right. Bye.
Bye.
Winona Forever is part of the Cage Club Podcast Network. Episodes produced by Chris Landry. Music by No Refunds. Hosted by Lindsay Gibb and Rekha Tulsaram. Contact Rekha and Lindsay at winona@cageclub.me.